You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. This is a series that reminds us of how our Lord came to be our source of life and light. Let us all remember the hope we profess in Jesus through this Christmas series in time.
Again, welcome to Every Nation Macau. Every Sunday we have three services. Okay, 9 and 11 a.m. Okay, our 9 a.m. is Tagalog English, Taglish service. And also we have another Taglish service at every Wednesday at 8 p.m. So again, welcome to our 8 p.m. English service. All right, we exist as a church to honor God and make disciples. Okay, how many of you, you know, you are excited because we are entering into, you know, Christmas atmosphere, Christmas season. Amen. So anyway, like what I've said earlier, our new series is called In Time. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a time and season for every activity. And everything is beautiful in His time. Amen. You know, God's time is always perfect. Okay, God is not late in His promises. How many of you know that? He always, He fulfills every promise according to His time. Not our time, but His time. So sometimes we tend to be, you know, impatient when it comes to the promises of God. But one of the things that God is helping us is when it comes to our becoming or being patient. Okay, how many of you here, you have a lot of patience? But then again, that is one of the virtues, okay? One of the fruit of the Spirit is patience, okay? So God fulfills every promise according to His time, and don't lose hope, okay, when your prayers are not yet answered. Okay, maybe you've been praying for the longest time, but then again, keep on hoping, keep on, you know, praying. Maybe you have to be strong and never give up, never let go of God. Keep focusing on God. Let your eyes be fixated on Him. Amen. Even in the most difficult times, you know, the year is about to end again. It's another, you know, Christmas, another month. Yes, and of course, this is the last month, okay, of the year. And there are so many things that are really happening in the world. We are still in the middle of a pandemic, another variant. They're saying, and people are concerned. People are worried about what's going to happen in the future. What is going to happen the next day, moving forward. But then again, as believers, as Christians, we keep on holding on to God. Amen? We have to keep on, you know, rallying our faith together, believing for, you know, what God has in store for us. You see, for every single one of us, our future is secure in God. So no need to panic, okay? There's no need for you to worry about tomorrow. In fact, Jesus said that. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow should worry about itself. Amen? So what will happen to you if you keep on worrying about your life, about tomorrow, what will happen tomorrow? Okay? So we'll just grow older. So you will, you know, don't allow your wrinkles to multiply. So just keep on holding on to God and have faith in Him. Now, let's go back to our topic. Now, why is Christmas significant for all of us? Why is Christmas significant for you personally? Okay, maybe you can ask the person next to you, why is Christmas significant to you? You know, is it just about the party? Okay, the food that you eat? Okay? The Christmas parties that you go to, how many of you here, you know, you are now counting how many Christmas parties that you have to attend, okay, to attend to this month, okay? Man, some of you, I have five. This, you see, you know, sadly in our society today, there's a little understanding of the significance of Christmas. It's more than the feeling, the feel, or the atmosphere, or the ornaments. Of course, when you entered our center, you would. Perhaps you feel the atmosphere of Christmas because of the ornaments or the decorations. It's also more than the songs that we sing. You know, earlier we sung two Christmas songs. Okay? That reminds us of Christmas. Okay? But again, we are still battling. You know, despite of again the celebrations, upcoming celebrations that we are going to attend, you're invited to attend to, you know, we're still battling this pandemic. We're still battling with a crisis or personal crisis that we are facing in our lives, but despite the challenging times, despite the crisis that you are facing, let me ask you the question. You know, are you still growing spiritually? Think about yourself. Despite the pressures, perhaps you are here tonight and there's so much pressures that you are facing in your life. Question is, are you still growing? Are you still, you know, moving higher in terms of your devotion to God? Can you honestly say that, you know, my relationship with God is more than before, it's getting stronger? Or maybe you are here tonight, you're barely surviving, or you're perhaps losing hope along the process because of, again, it's like you are, you know, you fell in a pit. You feel like, you know, you sunk, or you are sinking in a pit and you need help. See, this time, I hope we will all be reminded once again of the true significance of this season. You know, so Christmas should remind us of how God in time fulfilled His promise. This is a reminder of the faithfulness of God in our lives. Amen? Now, let's go back to our text. You see, the author of John, you know, the many scholars would contradict, or would even say that it wasn't really Apostle John who wrote the book of John. Because of the way it was written. But of course, majority of the scholars would say it was actually Apostle John who wrote this letter. But the letter, the book of John, if you look at it and study it, they are different from, you know, they are different from the previous three gospels, namely Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay, the first three gospels are so alike that they are called synoptic gospels. Synoptic Gospels means seen together. Okay? You can see the parallels are clear when they are looked side by side. Okay? One after the other. When you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're similar. It's like they are historical books. Or historical gospels, whereas the book of John, however, is regarded as a spiritual gospel rather than a historical book. Now, going back to John chapter 1, verse 1, it says here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So here, it says again, "In the beginning," in the beginning here means before the world was created, there already was the Word. In other words, the Word, did not exist in the beginning. Only in the beginning, or when God created heavens and earth, the heavens and the earth. Because in the beginning, again, means before the world was created, there was already the Word. Okay? The Word in Greek is logos. Okay? Greek word, most often translated word, means the entire communication process. Okay? Again, logos is the Greek term translated as word, is speech, principle, or thought. Okay, one example of logos is the Bible. This is logos, the Word of God. Okay, in Greek philosophy, it also referred to a universal divine reason or the mind of God. And here, it is clear that the Word or logos is a reference to Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, logos. And that logos that is being referred to is Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the Word. Say that with me. The Lord Jesus is the Word. Now, Jesus being the Word proves that He is God. Because He was there in the beginning. He was with God, and the Bible says He is God. You know, there are other religions that denies the deity of Jesus. There are other religions, in fact, that deny even the incarnation of the Son of God. Again, referring to Jesus. Or maybe you are here today, you're also doubting whether Jesus is truly God. Here, Apostle John points and proves that Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word. He is the Logos. He is the Son of God. He is Jesus. And so, Jesus used this word, Logos, to communicate who Jesus is to both Jews and Gentiles. So because it is easier to communicate to both Jews and Gentiles when Jesus is referred to as the Word or Logos. The word Logos is eternal and infinite. Now, when we say infinite, it means boundless. What else? Immeasurable, limitless, fathomless. So Jesus is infinite. The infinite Word became an infant. Okay, try to process that. God Himself became an infant. So Jesus enters into the finite and becomes a man. He becomes a boy. You see, he has to be a man so that we can relate to God. Because there's no way we can relate to God if Jesus did not come. I like the example, the description that Billy Graham used. He said that for an ant, okay, for somebody or for or if you want to. He was saying, if you want to communicate to the ants, you cannot go to the ant as a human being and say, ant, follow me. Or you cannot tell the ants to respond to what you are saying because the ant would never understand you. So what do you need to do? For you to communicate with the ant, you have to become an ant. The same thing with us. For us to get to know God better, we've got, you know, God has to become a man just like us. Are you getting what I'm saying? As Jesus wanted to reveal God to humanity, also Jesus came to fulfill God's promise to his people. And it's one of the reasons why Jesus had to come. Because God made a promise. If you read about the entirety of the Bible, after men fell into sin, God started to make a promise that he will send a Savior. He will send a Messiah. The one who will deliver not only the nation of Israel, but the entire world. That's why we've been quoting John 3:16, "For God so loved not only the Israelites, but the world." For God so, can you imagine if the Bible only says, "For God so loved the Jews that he gave his only begotten son"? Only, that means to say only the Jews will be saved. But the Bible did not just say the Jews, but the world. You see, we won't be here tonight if the promise is only for the Jews. How many of you are grateful to God because he so loved you and me? He has chosen you and me to be part of his family. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. It says here, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God," referring to Jesus, "something to be used to his own advantage." Verse 7, "Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." See, the Lord Jesus is the Word who came down to the world. You see, Jesus had to he had a humble beginning. He was born in a manger, not in a palace. Look at this. The Son of God chose to be born in a manger. Chose to be born not in a royal family, not in a wealthy family. He became so ordinary. He was, you see, growing up, Jesus became a carpenter himself. And you know what? He came down to reach us from our miserable condition. We were slaves to sin and destined to perish in hell. Romans 3:22 and 23 says, "This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile." Verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short." No one can say here today, no one can claim that he or she haven't committed any sin. Because the Bible said all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because if you say, "Oh, I'm not sinning," you are making God a liar. Because the Bible said all have sinned. Everybody say all. That includes the person next to you. That includes yourself. You see, we were all in the same boat. We were all sinners. Amen? And that's why we need the grace of God. We need God. We need Jesus in our lives. You see, if you haven't received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, this is the best chance for you. I believe the reason why you are here today, you are here tonight, it's a divine moment for you. In His time, you are here to be saved. You see, one good thing about what Jesus was trying to offer us, that salvation is a free gift. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to perform and be crucified yourself on the cross. All you need to do is surrender your life to Jesus and say, God, forgive me of all my sins and I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. You see, Jesus is our only hope for salvation. He came right on time to provide freedom from sin and adoption to sonship. Look at Galatians chapter 4, 4 and 5. It says here, but when the set time, in Greek that is Kairos time, when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. You see, we are no longer called slaves. If you are in Christ, you are called a son of God. You are called daughter of God. That's all because of what Jesus did. He calls us as sons and daughters. And what is the implication there? You see, the infinite becomes intimate. I want to explain this further. John 1:14, it says here, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus is called the Word because He conveys the truth of the message of the gospel. He came to declare the good news to all of us. And John 14:6, it says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is not only the door for us to be saved, not only the door for us to get to heaven, not only the door for us to get to the Father, but He says, the truth. The Logos became the truth. And that is Rhema. When you begin to experience hearing what God is saying, that is Rhema word. Logos is what you read from the scripture. And Rhema is when the scripture starts to speak to your situation. When He speaks to your heart. When God opens your heart to the gospel. When you begin to understand what God is saying. Because you can hear the gospel many times in your life. 10 times, 12 times. But if that word is not, there is no Rhema in your heart, it will not change you. You've got to experience the word. You see, Jesus didn't just bring the message of the gospel. He is the message of the gospel. You see, as we must receive the word for us to be one with Him, you've got to receive the word. The word. Receive Jesus and partake of that word in your life. That's why here in verse 7 of John chapter 14, it says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. See, if you have Christ in your life, you will get to know the Father as well. You'll get to know Jesus, who you get to know the Father. Jesus not only became one of us, He became one with us. He not only draws Himself to us, He draws us near to God. You see, because God's intent is always to bring us closer to God. That's the intention. The infinite becomes intimate with you and me. Because the essence of Christianity, and we've been harping on this, is relationship. He wants to be intimate with you. The very reason, and I believe in this, the very reason why God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden is because of the purpose of intimacy. You see the picture, when you are in a garden, if you want to see your garden flourishing, what do you need to do? You have to take care of that garden, isn't it? You've got to do something in the garden. If you want to, you know, you want to see the trees bear fruit, you've got to take care. And you see, God has planted us in His garden. All of us, we have to have this garden. We have to cultivate. Our relationship with God. Just like how Adam and Eve were supposed to cultivate the Garden of Eden. So God would visit. If you read the book of Genesis, God would visit Adam. And he would walk in the Garden of Eden. You know why? To fellowship with the first couple. And same thing with us. God would visit us because He would want us to fellowship with Him. He's here. He wants you. He desires you to know Him. That's why even in Isaiah 55, it says there, you will seek me and you will find me. Seek me and you will find me. But the question is, are you seeking God? You see, you cannot be a Christian and not pray. Because prayerlessness is a sin. When you are not seeking God in prayer, that means to say, you're saying, I don't need God in my life. I have to depend on my own strength. You try it. You will not last. You see, the backbone of Christianity, your backbone is prayer. What will sustain you is your communion with God. You see, prayer, sometimes when we hear the word prayer, oh, that's only for the spiritual. No. Prayer is communication with God. You can pray while riding the bus. As you are doing your chores. As you are working. You know, as I'm standing here in front of you, and while I'm preaching, I'm also praying at the same time. In my mind, Lord, help me to convey your word with clarity. So God's intent is always to bring us closer to Him. He desires intimacy. Are you growing deeper in your intimacy with God? God wants you to discover and to experience His love. As the Bible says, how deep, how high, how long, how wide is His love for you. See, that's exactly what Paul prayed for to the book of, you know, in the book of Ephesians to the Ephesus, that they may know the magnitude of the love of God. Do you understand the depth of God's love for you? See, if you haven't experienced God's love or God's affection for you, yeah, I believe it's about time. Because many of us here, you really haven't, you know, experienced, you know, love from your earthly parents. And the problem with that, if you haven't really experienced, you know, true love that comes from your loved ones, your idea of love, even when it comes to the love of God, is most of the time, or rather, problematic. You see, God desires to fill you with His unconditional love. God's love is, we call that agape. unconditional. God's love is made available for you. You see, the world is longing to experience the love of the Father. And then again, like what I've said, it's available to us as we invite Him to come into our lives. You know, when I was preparing for this message, I really feel that there are many of you here, you don't really understand, you don't really capture the meaning, the true meaning of love. Many times, we equate love by how the world sees or understand love. I am love if I have a lot of money. I have love if I can buy everything that I need in my life. I will feel love if the other person would provide all my needs. You see, if you would like to understand, if you want to understand what truly love is, go to God because He is love. God is love. 1 Corinthians 13, God is love. And what is love? It was also described in the Bible what love is. So will you allow God to fill your heart with His love? So you see, God wants to heal your soul. And that would happen as you begin to understand how deep the love of God is for you. He wants to remove your fears. He wants to deal with your insecurities and rejection. And one of the things that I feel like God is impressing in my heart tonight in this service is some of you, you know, you've gone through rejection in your life. As a matter of fact, you are still battling that spirit of rejection. I want to pray for you later on. You know, if you are in that position, in that situation wherein, you know, you cannot move on. I see you walking but trying to move forward. One step forward, but I see you also stepping backwards because there's no way you can move forward if you have baggages, extra baggages that's not supposed to be there in your life. And so learn to deal with it. And you can only break the power of rejection through God Himself, His mighty works. Look at Psalm 146, verse 7 and 8 says, He upholds, God upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. You know, if you are here today, you are in lack. God provides for the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. Again, if you are in trouble because of rejection, because of fear, because of whatever it is, maybe you are here today, you are broken in the inside, your soul, God will set you free. Verse 8, the Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. His love is fully reserved to the righteous. The Lord Jesus is the Word who came down to the world and accomplished God's purpose by His mighty works. You see, God cares for you. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, God cares for you. He loves you, like what I've said earlier. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that as He looks at you, you are the apple of His eyes. God looks at you intently. He was looking at you, and He will never remove His gaze from you. He's looking at you intently because you are the apple of His eyes. And as a matter of fact, the Bible also says that He knows the number of your hair. Can you imagine that God knows? Because while he's looking at you intently, He's counting the number of your hair. And I was telling the Lord, God, praise God, because even though I'm losing my hair, You know, still know the number of my hair. Hallelujah. You know, I that makes me confident in God even more. Amen? God loves me. Praise God, because, of course, my wife loves me. But I know more that God loves me greater. Amen? God cares for you. He cares for you. And He will never get tired on doing His work, His mighty work in your life. You see, what do you need from God tonight? What do you need God to do for you? Just commit everything to the Lord, and He will take care of you. As I land this message, Matthew chapter 1:23, it says here, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Is there anybody here, your name is Emmanuel? Which means what? God with us. See, God will never leave you. He's always there for you. In your ups and downs, God will always be there for you. Maybe you feel good about yourself today, but how about tomorrow? When you commit mistakes, when you feel down because of the troubles that you are facing in your life, be reminded that God will always be there for you. He will not abandon you. Amen? That is the kind of God that we serve. Yes, God makes a promise, and He will continue to sustain us via His promise. Usually the significance of Christmas is the word, Logos, coming to us in time, proving that God is with us, delivering us from all our miserable condition because of sin, and bring us the hope of eternal life. Why don't we all stand on our feet?
Thank you for listening. For more podcasts and to give online, visit everynationmacau.org. God bless you.